Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's NBA tip-off week, and FanDuel is your home for live betting. So even if you miss the start of the game or want to ride the hot hand, FanDuel has live bets on everything from who will score next to fourth quarter comebacks. Plus, you can even combine your live bets into a same-game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join, because FanDuel is giving new customers $300 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to sign up today. Play your game with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command. Logan Paulson is back. I'm Grant Paulson. We're with you for a new installment as we look back at what has been 11 games for the Commanders, take inventory on where they're at this season, and look at some of the big topics of the week, including the return of Jaden Daniels. Of course, on Thursday, we'll drop a new episode for you, looking ahead to Sunday Night Football and the Denver Broncos as the Commanders come out of the bye. Remember, you can watch the show on YouTube, 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 channels, and please subscribe, rate, review, comment, do all those things that help us out wherever you get your audio. Logan, little bye weekend with the fam. How are things?
Things are good, man. Got a little 8-year-old soccer in and some hockey down in Virginia Beach. So it was good busy weekend, but, good to spend some time with the family. How about you? Get some stuff done or what? Are you Absolutely. Talking to Ben Standing on Sunday, apparently?
Yeah, that's right. Ben and I broke down the whole league, every game, got people a new episode in their feed, talked about the Commanders' outlook the rest of the way. And, that was a good time. We caught up and enjoyed ourselves, shticked it up a little bit. But, things are good, man. I'm ready for the stretch run, recharge the batteries a little bit. Got 6 games to go here for Washington. I want to start with the news that came out on Monday, and that is that Jaden Daniels is going to return to practice. In fact, he already has, but he's going to do more and more as the week goes on. He has not been cleared for contact, and so it's being called a long shot for him to play against the Broncos. Still pretty amazing, the recovery here, when you think about how gruesome that elbow dislocation looked and the fear initially that there were tears and maybe his season was over. But at least as of right now, the trajectory would make you think he might be able to come back, you know, a week after the Denver game in Minneapolis against the Vikings. If that's the case, that would give him 5 games left, 5 weeks of practice. That's a lot of football, you know, more than a quarter of a season, essentially, or right around there, you know, almost a third of a season for him to be able to come back and play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, obviously the injury looked disastrous when it happened. But I think, you know, the more research that you and I did on it, we kind of realized that if you kind of dodge the bullet of the ligament, like disastrous ligament tears, because you always tear a ligament when you dislocate an elbow, but as long as it wasn't bad, it was going to be a shot for him to come back. And so I think that it's cool to see him kind of with an opportunity to play some football down the stretch, to build to bank some reps. I really think that's one of the most important things about this returning from injury when he's going to, is that you're going to get some reps. And now against that Minnesota defense, that's going to be tough, but I do think, like, I want to see him get reps. I want to see him improve on some things from earlier in the season and from last year. So I think this is great. And, you know, I obviously I'm a huge fan of Jaden Daniels, so I just want to see him play. I think that's the other thing, too, that I'm excited about.
Well, the Minnesota defense is no treat. There's no doubt about that. But at least it's not the Denver defense.
That's true.
At least he doesn't have to come back and play the Broncos. We'll let Marcus handle that one. The number one defense in the NFL, number one in sacks by far. I mean, they just live in the backfield. So if he was coming back after weeks of not playing as kind of a rusty quarterback to play the Broncos, that would feel like a nightmare. It's not like Minnesota is going to be a walk in the park, but it's a level down for sure. You go from right. The number one defense in the league to the number 7 defense in the league.
Minnesota's number 7. I mean, I think the thing about Minnesota when you watch them, I get both defenses are amazing. So for full stop, but the Minnesota one is just, I don't really get what they're doing all the time. It's just like kind of feast or famine, lots of pressures, 8-man drops, zone pressures, simulated pressures. Just feels like he's just throwing, Flores is just throwing whatever he can at the wall. And he does a good job, and it really disrupts and is confusing for quarterbacks. So, you know, going to be a tough matchup whenever he comes back, but, you know, just excited to see him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, let's look at his season so far. 11 games for the Commanders. Obviously, Jaden Daniels has dealt with 3 different injuries and has now missed time multiple times. So he has not played in all 11 of those games. But for him, it's 6 starts. The team's gone 2-4. He's completed 62% of his passes, 7 yards per attempt, you know, 8 touchdowns and 2 picks. So if you're comparing him to that historical, incredible rookie of the year, never before seen campaign, you know, in terms of yards per game, it's down about 12 per, his rating's down about 6 points, his QBR is down about 16 points, sack percentage is up, like the good stuff is down, the bad stuff is up a little bit. It still feels like he's been very solid, though. It feels like this is not like, oh, this is perilous, he's had a bad year. I think he's just been regular good. He's been at times very good, just hasn't been at that elite MVP caliber level of last year. How would you sum up his season for someone who hasn't watched his 6 starts?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. There's been some good, there's been some bad, and I think it kind of leads to a more average product. And so I think when you look at his games, you get the first Giants game, went back and watched that last night, and I was really impressed. I think you saw a version of Jaden Daniels from the year before, right? You got, you know, some big completions to Debo. You've got a guy who understands when to scramble. The Giants played a lot more zone coverages, and you just felt like he was just picking them apart. It was really fun to watch. Then you walk up in that to that Packers game, and it was just a totally different animal. You know, like, it was the amount of quick pressures, the amount of kind of the inability to push the football down the field. They played a little bit more man, tighter match coverage, and it was hard for him, and it was hard for the whole offense. And I think that's kind of been the narrative of the season, because then you go to the next game that he played, which was the Chargers game. And I thought he looked great. You know, he had a little bit of a sputtering start in the first half, but then they get that big completion of Luke down the field. There's the completion to Jalen Lane. There's a deep cross to Debo. He's scrambling. He's maximizing guys. He's got some big-time throws in there. They played a lot more zone, and I felt like he looked really comfortable. The offensive line did a great job in pass protection. of maximizing him. And again, like then you go to the Bears, thought a very solid performance in that one. Obviously, though, that game's marred by the two turnovers, right? The interception in the red zone and the late fumble, which again, like, but outside of those two plays, and you can't do that, obviously, but outside of those two plays, I thought he looked excellent and the offense looked excellent.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then you get to the Cowboys game, a lot of pressure, tough time, and then Seattle, which again, the pressure that Seattle was able to bring was really high. So I think I say all that to kind of get back to this main point, which is that I think he's played about the same as he did last year. I think his warts or some of the issues that he had as a quarterback last year are going to be exacerbated. And what I mean by that is he's never been a great navigator of the pocket, which is a skill. Like, and there are certain quarterbacks that are bad at it and certain quarterbacks that are good at it. There are good quarterbacks that are bad at it. So this is not a nail in the coffin. But I do think, like, he's not a subtle pocket mover. So when there are quick pressures, when there is a when there's pressure just in general, like he's going to kind of make these big movements to get out and escape the pocket and scramble. And so I do think when you watch teams like, again, the Seattles, the Packers, the Cowboys in those games specifically, you feel some of that issue. And I think that's one of the reasons that Adam Peters goes out and invests a first round pick in an offensive lineman. You bring in Laremy Tunsil is to help kind of offset some of that issue for him. But I do think you see that that was something you saw last year. I think you see it more this year because you're seeing him play against better defenses.
Yeah, I wonder too, like there's just an inconsistency all year stopping and starting to him being on the field. And yes. I can't help but think that's not a game changer. Like you went through it, but anecdotally to me, I think the second half of the Chargers game was the best he's looked. I thought that was quite literally like 2024 Jaden Daniels, top of the league. There's a handful of guys that can make some of those plays. That play on the move to Deebo Samuel is just to drop it in the bucket. Looked like it would fit in that like virtuoso Detroit Lions playoff performance that he had. I thought he was very solid in a couple other games as well. The Bears game minus the two turnovers I thought was pretty awesome. And then there were some really good things as the game went on against the Giants you referenced in week one. You know, when he's been pressured, like the Seattle game, it's been very, very different, obviously. But, I mean, how much of a factor, like if we're doing a pie of, like, this is why this year has not been on the same level, what percent do you ascribe to either injuries being off the field, practice, and games, and then also – you know, not to use injuries as an excuse with his supporting cast, but like just the lack of time with them in practice. Like, I mean, is that almost the whole pie or is there more to it?
It's huge. Like I said, I think there's some issues like, you know, like the pocket stuff is something that like he was going to have to get cleaned up from last year.
Yeah, and by the way, like people take offense to that. He's a second year quarterback who's played, you know, just over 20 games. Like everyone relax.
I'm definitely not trying to light him on fire. Like I think he's a good player. Like he makes some play like against the Giants. He makes that boot out to the right and he throws this ball down to Moore on the sideline. You mentioned the completion of Deebo in the Chargers game. He had a beautiful completion to Moore versus man coverage where he throws it up for a touchdown. Like, he's still balling, you know. And again, like the decisions when to scramble are still excellent. I think teams are more aware of his legs now than ever before. So they have plans, right? So they're going to force him to, you're not going to be as effective down to down with the scrambling, which is something that I think really limited the offense's effectiveness when he was in. But to your point, like, we're going to talk about this Kurt Warner thing here in a second, but one of the things that I think is overlooked by the national media when they talk about him locally is just the turnover at the skill position spot. Like, we went to training camp practice. He didn't practice with Terry. He didn't practice with Noah. Debo was the only guy out there. So he's practicing with Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane. Luke McCaffrey's no longer playing because of the collarbone thing, right? It's just the amount of turnover that you get from those offensive position players. Like, it is a timing-based thing. It's a trust-based thing. And, you know, like, one of the things that I'm really grateful for in my job is you get to walk the sideline, you know, and kind of hear what coaches are saying and kind of different coaching points. And the amount of times this year where, like, the quarterback or the receiver coach is like, hey, man, we got to be in a better spot for you here, right? And, again, Tavita says stuff to them, too, about, hey, we got to make a better throw. Like, it's a give and take. But I do think that there, when you're working with new pieces in new spots, that's something that's going to continuously come up. It's just you're not on the same page. And that applies to the receivers. It also applies to the offensive line. Like, look at the game against Green Bay, like, where, you know, you got Allegretti starting, you got Coleman starting. The next week they turn that over, right? And then that turns over one more time when Cosme comes back. And that happens against the Cowboys, right? So I do think that, like, those things, just the constant turnover of the skill position, specifically the turnover on the offensive line is starting to set a little bit in gel, which I think is one of the reasons they've been more efficient the last couple of weeks. But I do think that those are huge factors, right? And then you couple that with the fact that he's been in for two games, out for two games, in for two games, or in for three games, out for a game, back for a game, like against, and it's not like a slouch defense. It's like you're going from the Cowboys where you absolutely got shelled because they're blitzing all the time and running all this first down pressure. And then you take a week off and you play maybe the best defense in football. Like we were just talking about the Broncos, like Seattle looks excellent, right? So I just think it's the matchups are tougher. The in and out of the lineup for him, the injury at the skills position spots, like it's not the same ecosystem he was in last year. And I think that's important to recognize.
To that point, Kurt Warner, the future Hall of Fame quarterback, whose work I've always really admired and liked. I mean, he really dives into the tape, and I don't view him as like a hot take or looking for clicks or shouty show. Like he really is trying to dig in on quarterbacks. And he, I would say, went pretty hard against Daniels in the Seattle performance. Now, my perception, for the record, was that a lot of things that he was showing and talking about, which were completely fair and true, I thought, were more in that game and not like systematic issues over the entirety of the season or like every week you watch Jaden. But that's another point for another time. What did you make of kind of some of his critiques in terms of holding on to the ball, kind of not seeing it as clean, maybe not being as sure as he was at times last year? And where does that come from?
At Sierra, discover joyous deals on great gifts for everyone on your list, like cozy slippers, ski gear, fishing poles, bikes, large kayaks, even larger canoes. Whew. Which might lead to another discovery. Wrapping gifts is the only sport you need to stay fit this season. Tis the season to discover great gifts at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Yeah, so I mean, it was funny, like going through watching that, because I don't think Kurt Warner is saying anything that's wrong on an individual play. But what I will say is that the thing that jumped out to me is like, that's a really hard throw that he's asking him to make. And then the next one is a really hard throw. And the next one's a really hard read. The next one's
is that because he's a Hall of Famer watching that tape?
Well, this is the thing that I have to run into when I'm watching film too. It's like one play in isolation, you could ask a guy to win, right? So like, let's say it's a tough matchup. Like as a tight end, like, hey, I got to block this six technique and it's, you know, Cameron Jordan, right? And that's a tough matchup. And if I have to do it 10 times, he's going to win probably seven of those, right? But I can win it one time because we kind of surprise him. The formation's different. The backfield set's different and he's a little bit slow off the ball and I can get him. So you're like, yeah, he should probably make that block. But when I'm watching the film, like watching a game, right? Or watching a drive even. And you're like, man, like he missed that block. He missed this block. He missed this block. Talking about a tight end now. You're like, is that fair of me as the coach to ask that he make me right all the time in this really tough matchup? And so when I was listening to the Kurt Warner thing, like the first one that comes to mind was they ran this boot on the first play of the game. And the defensive end plays out, really nice play by the defensive end. You could tell that was their plan, runs right at the quarterback. The receiver's not quite out of his break yet. And Kurt Warner's like, he should throw to this grass right here. I'm like, I could see that, right? I could see him throwing to the grass. I would get a little bit nervous about it because the corner's kind of fluffed off a little bit. It's covered too. He's got eyes on the quarterback. The receiver's not as deep as I want him to be to kind of maximize the grass. But could he make this throw? Yeah, he could. So that's one. Go to the next one. It's like, hey, we got a four-man pressure. They run a stunt to the offensive right. There's a guy right in his face. I want him to kind of do a quick lateral step and drill this dig on a rope. Okay, cool. So, but when you go back to back to back like that, is that reasonable that I am asking him to make this offense go with?
In other words, like a few of those maybe, but yeah, to right. be perfect on every play, the way I say it is you're chasing a ghost. Like it's an imperfect exactly right. position. You're going to miss throws. You're going to miss plays. I think that's a really good way to look at it. The other thing, and I'll tag you back in on this, I will say about the Warner breakdown, in real time watching that game, that was how I felt. How I felt, and the reason we're bringing this up, I guess, is it's the last time he's played, and it's so we're going to see how he comes out of this. But I felt like, and it's not a big knock, it happens sometimes with younger guys, he just wasn't taking the layups. Yeah. And, just keep the ball moving. I am such a proponent of completions, right? That is, I'm not saying I'm right, but this is like my philosophy and my axiom for quarterback play is like, keep the ball moving. The guy that I talked to the most over the years and have kept in touch with is Kirk Cousins. And he basically turned his entire career around based on sitting down with Jay Gruden watching tape once. And Jay going through two Tom Brady performances that everybody heaped all this praise on Tom Brady for. Comeback wins. And they went through the tape. He said, let's stop the tape when he makes a big time throw that you'd struggle to make. And they never stopped the tape. And he's like, just take what they give you. Like, do the thing, man. And so his whole career has been this axiom of not going broke, taking a profit, and look at all the money he's made. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't make big-time, big-boy throws. Of course he does. But, like, just take the layups. And I felt like in that game he was turning them down. I don't post these on social anymore because it just comes off as, like, too hot a take and everyone gets so offended. And as you said, like, you can always find a clip. I could screen grab and make people, say, oh, why didn't you do this? But, like, I kind of put together a little bit of the same kind of deal after Seattle where I'm like, why not do this, this, this? So I get where Kurt Warner is coming from. I just wonder how much of it was a one-game issue where you're getting destroyed. Like, he was pressured 50% of snaps. You might have just gotten kind of spooked and out of a rhythm in that game, and that doesn't mean it carries over. Has that been the issue over many games? I would say no.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that I really felt in that game too was like, look at who. And again, this is not. This sounds like I'm being mean. Like, I am this guy. I'm this guy that I'm about to talk about and kind of be critical of. Like, you need these guys in the NFL, and these guys have carved out great careers. But you're not throwing to the guys you thought you'd be throwing to, right? And so that comes with a couple different things. Like, Treylon Burks had been there for 2 weeks. And I think Treylon Burks, like, talk about a guy I'm excited to watch play football. Treylon Burks is at the top of that list. However, like, you could tell there's, like, some route depth issues, angles on cuts, and you're like, how comfortable as the quarterback would you be throwing to this guy that's been here for 2 weeks, right? 1 week on practice squad, 1 week active, and now we're letting it rip, right? And I think, like, that's another thing that comes up with the Kurt Warner stuff, too, and some of this stuff. It's like, if the guy I'm throwing to is not in the spot I'm expecting, I can't be anticipatory with my throw. So even though the guy's open, am I ready? Is my footwork ready? Is the timing off? Like all those things compile. So let's take that game. Let's say 15% of it is throwing to new people. Then you get the pressure thing. And I think the one thing that is true here of this season, and it was true last year, is when he is pressured, he starts pressing a little bit, right? He wants to be Superman. Like you mentioned the completion thing. Like when he sits back there, the offensive line's in a good spot, he will absolutely dissect you. Like he will dissect you in a way that is so unique to him. Obviously, we saw it last year with how productive he was as a rookie, but look at the Green Bay game. Like I'd say, again, Green Bay did a great job, not only with the pressure, but also tight coverage. I also think Seattle did a great job with pressure and tight coverage, but there are times like you're talking about where like, hey, let's just get the ball to the back. Or, hey, like the check down's coming open. Let's get on base with this completion. And so, yes, that is a part of it also. But again, like I go back to my original kind of thought here with Kurt Warner is it reasonable that I'm asking you to do that, what, 25 times in a game? Like, I don't think so, with the pressure rate being what it is. And so that's where I'd say, that's where I'm trying to give him a little bit of grace. Like, sure. Those two games specifically, Green Bay and the Seattle game were absolutely diabolical in terms of pressure, right? Like they were, it was just like quick pressures, four-man rushes, great match coverage, like across the board. And so any quarterback, I would argue, is going to have a hard time with that skill position group versus that level of pressure in those games. And you look at it like the Seattle game is the worst game of the year for the offensive line. The other worst game is the Green Bay game. And so it doesn't surprise me that a guy who that those games he struggled the most. Now, the game that I would kind of point to and say, hey, we got to be better is the Cowboy game, because there's a couple of drops in that game. There's a couple incompletions that were very uncharacteristic of him. But again, that to me seems like the outlier in this course of this season. And to me, I also think that that was such a departure from what Matt Eberflus did before. Like he's this zone soft coverage guy, and all of a sudden they're playing a ton of man and blitzing his face off. Like I feel like they weren't quite ready for what.
Hold him a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing I would add just to back your point up with some numbers is he was pressured 25 times in 52 dropbacks in that Green Bay game. And then he was pressured 20 times in 35 dropbacks in the Seattle game. So the highest pressure rate over 50% was the Seattle game. But those two games collectively, 45 of the 86 pressures that he's faced in six games came in those two games, which speaks to something. All right, I want to get into some possible tweaks for the offense, or really just something I've been stewing on for a few weeks that I want to bounce off you kind of schematically, and X's and O's. We'll do that next. It's Take Command, Logan Paulson and Grant Paulson getting ready to get back to work here for the Commanders as they get ready for the Broncos on Sunday Night Football.
Rinse takes your laundry and hand delivers it to your door, expertly cleaned and folded, so you could take the time once spent folding and sorting and waiting to finally pursue a whole new version of you. Like tea time you.
Mmm.
Or this tea time you. Or even this tea time you.
Said you hear about Dave.
Or even tea time, tea time, tea time you.
Mmm. So update on Dave.
It's up to you. We'll take the laundry. Rinse. It's time to be great.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.